I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this.
Yeah, because things are just popping right now. Things are starting to cultivate. Things are starting to grow.
I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
The Rock did Vince McMahon a favor, and he whooped that red and yellow candy ass.
There's one thing you're better at than I am, and that's kissing Vince McMahon's ass. You're as good as kissing Vince's ass as Hulk Hogan was. I don't know if you're as good as Dwayne, though. He's a pretty good ass kisser.
Wait a minute. Are you kidding, The Rock?
Yeah, wrestling is a rough sport, and I am the roughest one in the sport. I am the number one wrestler in the world today.
The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
The fact that Dwayne is in the main event of WrestleMania next year, and I'm not, makes me sick.
Last year, WrestleMania, 68,000 strong. 68,000 of you mother Canuckers booing The Rock out of the building.
And the beat goes on, yeah. And the beat goes on. Because I am the greatest Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion that ever lived. And I am the greatest professional wrestler that ever lived.
I'm the best in the world.
It doesn't matter what you people think.
And I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead. But the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law. The wheel's going to keep turning, and I understand that.
Because the time is getting near.
The jabroni beaten now! Pie-eating, trailblazing, eyebrow-raising, stronger than a bear, faster than a buck, the biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
Wow, man, freaked out!
The WWE is in the United Kingdom and over in Europe. Back in the day, I was in Europe too, and I took care of the Ultimate Warrior. Yeah, I did. I did that. But now, it's time to talk wrestling on my podcast, Condo on the Moon. So are you ready, Chris Walder?
Can we have some tea and crumpets during the podcast, James?
No.
What?
Why?
That's... Because we got an English theme going on today.
No, I just did that for the Savage promo. We have no English theme today other than that.
Ah, well. Anyway. I still want tea and crumpets.
No, actually, we're starting with some sad news today. This was actually the week, the anniversary of Randy Savage's passing, and I wrote about that for Between the Ropes, but also another sad moment to reflect on, unfortunately, today is the 15th anniversary, believe it or not, of the death of one Owen Hart.
A Canadian hero. Rest in peace, Owen.
And you were, I would imagine, much younger when this occurred, but I was not, and I remember it vividly. I have something coming out on Between the Ropes about this, which by the time you listen to this will probably be out, so check on Between the Ropes for it. But I was just reflecting on that night, and it was kind of an odd night for me because I had something to do that night. I think I was broadcasting a hockey game or something like that, and I wasn't able to watch the WWE pay-per-view live. So I got home, and I'm on my viewer's choice. I can't order the replay, and I'm so frustrated and angry. And then I turned on the show The Law, Live Audio Wrestling, which we get up here in Canada. You can listen to it on TSN 1050 every Sunday night at 11, a free plug for those guys. But I tuned on to that show, and I felt like such a horrible person when I heard the news that Owen Hart had passed away. I was just angry that I couldn't see the pay-per-view, and then to find out that news was just jarring.
Well, I wasn't old enough to order the pay-per-view itself. Like, I was still fairly young at the time, but I watched Monday Night Raw the next night, and I remember the special they did for Owen and all of the interviews they did with guys like Jeff Jarrett and Deborah, and I think Mick Foley was one of them as well. And it was just crazy because I had never seen anything like that before. I thought professional wrestlers were invincible. And then, you know, once I heard the details about, you know, the accident with Owen falling from the rafters and landing on the turnbuckle, I was just like, I was taken back. And Owen was so beloved by all of the guys, and, you know, he had such like a goofy, like, jokester kind of persona to him with all of the all of his fellow wrestlers. And it was just a terrible thing that that had happened. And you know, I still can't believe that. What was the pay-per-view? I think it was Over the Edge. It still went on after the accident. I think there was still Austin and Undertaker still had a match to close out the night. I mean, I can only imagine how rough it was for Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler to still call a pay-per-view after one of their close friends had passed away. But yeah, I mean, 15 years later, it still resonates with a lot of Canadian wrestling fans.
Not only that, I listened to an interview by Josh Lopez, who's one of the guys who contributes over at Between the Ropes, and he got the chance to interview Jim Ross this week, because Jim Ross is coming to Chicago for his one-man show at the end of the month. And Jim Ross was recalling the events of that whole tragedy. That was one of the things they talked about. And what's amazing about that is, during that pay-per-view, JR has to come on and announce that Owen Hart has passed away. A bunch of things about this. For one, the live audience was never told about this. They never knew what became of Owen Hart until after the event had ended. But the other thing with JR specifically is, he was told that they were going to give an update on Owen's condition, and the people in the truck, Kevin Dunn, thought JR was aware of what had happened and that Owen had passed away. JR was not. And literally, JR goes to Kevin Dunn, "Well, what's the update?" And Dunn tells him that Owen died, and then goes right into a countdown like we do before we start this podcast of 10, 9, 8. And the words you hear from Jim Ross are based on having 10 seconds notice that Owen Hart had passed away.
That's crazy. I mean, I don't think I would have been able to do something like that. And I remember that moment. I've watched it a couple of times. And the fact that he was able to kind of almost maintain his composure during that time, and I understand now why the live audience wasn't told, because, I mean, if they were still going to go through with the rest of the show, it would have been, you know, you have an entire audience of, like, weeping fans. Would have been a rightful reaction. I mean, Owen Hart just died, but, yeah, I mean, Jim Ross being able to get through that is a testament to how strong a person he is, because I don't think I would have been able to do that.
Well, I mean, Jim Ross is just an amazing guy. Not only that, another incident totally unrelated to this. Jim Ross, when he had an attack of Bell's palsy, had it during a pay-per-view in England and still found a way to finish the pay-per-view, having an attack of Bell's palsy live on the air for a pay-per-view in England. So, I mean, the man, he's just such a tremendous broadcaster, and people don't give him nearly enough credit.
The man wasn't treated right, you know, with all of these. I mean, I saw in his latest interview, I think he did something with the Opie and Anthony guy, Sam Roberts, and they talked about, you know, the Montreal Screwjob and, you know, his departure from WWE. But they also brought up the fact that, you know, we've seen all of these skits involving him where he was embarrassed, or if he had to join the Kiss My Ass Club, or if he'd get a pedigree in the middle of the ring, and how he dealt with it. And, you know, rightfully so, he wasn't happy with it, but he took one for the team. He was a company guy, and it's a shame that things had to end the way they did.
Yeah, and, you know, now the news coming out this week that apparently Ric Flair is back for the long haul. Lord help us all. Woo!
Woo!
And, you know, the fact that he is with this company and JR is not, I think, as much as I do like Rick, and I understand Rick was going through a terrible time at the time that incident took place, I'm a little disappointed that he allows himself to take this position without doing anything to kind of say, hey, you know what, you really owe it to JR to bring him back. He wasn't responsible for my behavior. That hasn't happened.
Unless you were going to bring Jim Ross back in a management role, which he's done before, you know, they're pretty much set with Cole, Lawler, and JBL as their three-man commentary team. So
no, they're not set at all. It's terrible, and they need to fix
it. It is terrible, but they're set with it whether we like it or not, right?
Well, they may think they're set with it. I'm not set with it.
We'd all give up any of those three for Jim Ross in a heartbeat.
Jim Ross would do 10 times better. I mean, he's going to be doing boxing on this Monday, I believe, coming up. And I have no doubt Jim Ross will do a tremendous job doing boxing. I have no doubt Jim Ross would do a tremendous job doing pro basketball, you know, MMA, college football. He's just a exceptional broadcaster, and that's the bottom line. And it's not so much Michael Cole with me with this announced team. I mean, he's never going to be JR, and I think we all can accept that to some level, but it's the other two knuckleheads that have to go to me. I mean, I've had my fill of Jerry the King Lawler, and I've had my fill of JBL. I mean, they're just not funny.
Well, Lawler needs to go. I used to be a JBL guy on commentary, but now it's like he's getting feeded all of these corny lines, and you can never take him seriously anymore. Half of the stuff that comes out of his mouth doesn't make any sense. I'm over him. I'm over Lawler. I mean, I understand why Cole's there. And like you said, he's never going to be Jim Ross. He couldn't tie Jim Ross's shoes. But like I said, these three aren't going anywhere.
Probably not. Sadly.
Sadly, very sad.
At least for the short-term future. But my hope is William Regal at some point. I don't care what show it's on. William Regal we get to see on commentary, because I think William Regal is just fabulous in it.
I agree, but I mean, he's doing a good job in NXT right now, and he's building up these young guys. I have no problem if he stays down there for the long haul, if that's what he wants to do. But hell, if he ever comes up and joins the main commentary team, that'd be great too.
It would be. It would be great. And you know, this week might have been the great opportunity to do it. With WWE being in London, just give Regal a test run. Have him come out there and see how he does, and I would have loved to have seen that. We didn't see that, of course. We did see some strange things in London, because, you know, it is London. We got to hear Adam Rose actually be over and what that sounds like.
About time.
You know, but I still think the Bunny is more over than him.
Nah, I like the Bunny, but Rose is coming on. I'm going to give him time. He has to be patient with some of these NXT guys, you know? I mean, they're throwing so many of them on the main roster at once. It's like, okay, they're not all going to be like fan favorites right away. You have to give the fans time to adjust and, you know, watch some of these guys perform. We haven't even seen Adam Rose wrestle yet. That's probably not going to happen until Payback.
I have seen Adam Rose wrestle in NXT. That's not the exciting part.
Well, the common fan, I mean.
They have it, but trust me, they're not going to be impressed by what they see in the ring. It only gets worse once he gets to wrestle.
He's not that bad of a wrestler. Come on now.
He's even worse with this gimmick, because they have him doing silly things like tied to the gimmick with his moveset.
Right.
I hate it. Like, as Leo Kruger, I didn't think he was that much of a wrestling talent, but as Adam Rose in the ring, I hate him even more.
Well, let's see in Chicago if he can put on a half-decent match with Jack Swagger. I mean, Swagger can wrestle, but, I mean, can Rose play off that?
That's going to be the match, too, isn't it? Jack Swagger and, oh, man.
The Payback card is just looking like a complete mess at this point, so does it really matter?
Yeah, let's talk happy news. This was not news by the time we spoke last week, I don't think. Kevin Steen is heading to the WWE.
Very true, yeah. Your boy, your favorite wrestler in the world, apparently.
Yes, he's up there. I mean, I don't know if he's my favorite, but he's definitely in my top five. But yeah, rumors all over the place last week or earlier this week. Kevin Steen will finish out his dates with ROH by doing their pay-per-view. And then his contract is set to end sometime in July, and from there, he will be off to WWE developmental. So that'll be interesting. I guess we'll get some insight into this probably this weekend if Kevin is down there working the PWG show tonight, actually. So,
good for him. I mean, I'm happy for the guy. I think he's kind of, you know, and this isn't a shot against Ring of Honor. I think he's just outgrown Ring of Honor. I think he's done all he can, really, with that company. Let's see what he can do down in NXT, and he's good enough to where WWE will find something they could use him for. And, you know, I mean, people say if his physique doesn't fit the mold of what a WWE superstar is, well, look at a guy like Bray Wyatt right now. He's not in tremendous shape, but he still has a part, and with Steen's mic work and his ability to wrestle, I think, you know, the sky's the limit for him in WWE, but I just hope they give him a chance.
And he's just a guy who knows how to command a crowd. I mean, he really does.
Agreed.
He is just a maestro in front of an audience, and I don't care how big or how small that audience is. He just commands your attention, and he's really good at it. And, you know, he was reaching that point where he just had a birthday, and, I mean, he's getting up there in years. The chances of him having this opportunity were starting to get really slim. There's other guys that are in Ring of Honor right now that I don't worry about, like an Adam Cole, because Adam Cole's like 24 years old and he's got lots of time ahead of him. But Kevin Steen, that window was closing, and it was closing fast, and good for him to finally get this opportunity. And I think you're right in some senses. I think Ring of Honor, he was being used almost like he was their John Cena. Because no matter what went on, Kevin was always the guy who was... It was whatever was going on with their world title, and then it was what's Kevin Steen up to.
And now a spot opens up for someone else in Ring of Honor to grab that brass ring, so to speak, and take Steen's spot when he eventually leaves. And you'll probably have to confirm this to me. His last match will be against Silas Young?
It's looking that way. I mean, that was the promo that was cut at the end of their War of the Worlds, and Silas Young basically went after Steen's family, which is something you just don't do in reality or in storyline. Kevin went nuts. It looks like that is going to be the final match for Kevin Steen in ROH, and we're also going to get the debut of Christopher Daniels, and although they can't announce it, it seems fairly clear that Frankie Kazarian will be coming alongside him, and they will be at Best in the World. So that should be interesting. Christopher Daniels, after a long absence from Ring of Honor, returns, and coming back with his tag team partner Frankie Kazarian, just adding to the mix over there at ROH that just gets, like, it's just insane the year this company has had.
People, I just recently looked at our WrestlingRumors.net Facebook page, and I had a couple of writers send me a message and say, you know, we're fans of the site and whatnot, and we love all the WWE news, but they were big Ring of Honor marks, and they were asking us to cover more of Ring of Honor, and they brought up the pay-per-view coming up, and it's almost like their following is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, like we've always said this before, TNA needs to look over its shoulder, because Ring of Honor is coming on strong. Like you just said, Daniels and Kazarian, TNA's loss is now Ring of Honor's gain. And it's like, okay, Kevin Steen is going to be out the door soon, and he's going to head over to NXT. But then you get a guy like Daniels and a guy like Kazarian to come over to help bolster your roster. Like, it's incredible. And I've had my doubts about the company in the past, but you've made me a believer, James, and I can't wait to watch this pay-per-view coming up next month, man.
Their depth is just scary good, and I mean, there's certain things, like, for example, AJ Styles is probably not going to be on this show, the one they're having the pay-per-view for, because
right,
he's going to be wrestling in New Japan. That would be a huge deal normally for a company, to have a guy of that caliber not able to go on your first ever pay-per-view. But with Ring of Honor, it really isn't. They have so many guys right now that are really clicking with their fans and with people right now. And I think the fact now that, I mean, I don't know if ROH is going to announce this officially or not at some point, but this is Kevin Steen's last match in ROH. That alone for ROH fans is huge. Mm-hmm. Like, that is going to be an emotional scene when Kevin Steen finishes that match. I have no doubt Ring of Honor fans, they've been through it with other guys. We've seen it when CM Punk left that company. We've seen it when Daniel Bryan left that company and other guys. And Ring of Honor fans, whatever you want to say about them, good or bad, they're loyal and they love the people that they love. And boy, oh boy, Kevin Steen is a guy they've loved for a long, long time.
Do we think Kevin Steen does the honors in his last match and put over someone like Silas Young?
Probably. I mean, I would think that Kevin's of the position in that company that he could have probably handpicked his opponent for this match. And Silas Young is a guy that a lot of people are high on. I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, but they at least promote the fact that he has some connection to Stan Hansen, the old wrestler who was just a nightmare back in the like 70s and 80s. And to have a connection to that lineage, whether it be fake or real, that's something in and of itself.
And now it's looking more and more like, and I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast, we've seen a lot of former Ring of Honor stars make it big in WWE, and, you know, Daniel Bryan being the champion, Seth Rollins working with The Shield, and now Cesaro's getting a big push. I'm not saying Kevin Steen is going to kind of fall into that mix, but it shows guys in Ring of Honor that, hey, you know what, you can make it big, you know, in a small pond, which Ring of Honor is at this point. Let's not be kidding ourselves and say it's in WWE's class, but they could make a name for themselves down there and then eventually make their way up to WWE, and then they'll have a following as well. And I hope the fans that loved Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor head over with him to NXT and really make something out of this run with him and the company.
Oh, I'm sure they will. And the thing about it is, I think, and I wrote this today, I wrote an article about WWE, and it focuses on John Cena, but it's more about just the whole idea of, is the whole concept of baby faces and heels dying to some extent. And the one thing I wrote about the guys from ROH specifically, they understand how to get over with the new wrestling fan, these new internet savvy smart wrestling fans. People in ROH learn how to get over with that audience, and they know that when they come in the door at WWE. What happens when they come into WWE is their style, which is a little bit over the top, which it needs to be for Ring of Honor, it gets pulled back, and they refine it, and they learn how to have longevity to their career. But getting over is getting over, and they know how to get over with that kind of an audience, and that pays huge dividends, because I think there's big stars in the WWE today that don't know how to get over with that audience anymore.
Fans like who they like. You know, the concept of heels and baby faces still exists, because you need good guys and you need bad guys. But I think fans are smarter now than they were, you know, 7-8 years ago, because they're just like, you know what? If you're good, if you're entertaining, if we enjoy what you do in the ring, whether it's on the mic or between the ropes, we're going to cheer for you. And we see that with guys like the Wyatt family right now, who are supposed to be heels in the grand scheme of things, but fans cheer them because they're so damn good at what they do, right? And I think, you know, Kevin Steen can kind of cross that line to whether, you know, if they want to make him a bad guy or they make him a good guy, fans are just going to respect the fact that he's so bloody good in the ring that they won't care what his persona is.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing now. It's kind of getting blurred, but I think, you know, for guys that get it, they can still pull it off and still make it all work. And some guys just they're not getting it, or they don't care to get it, or whatever. And it leads to problems, and it leads to, you know, the whole dynamic kind of gets thrown off. I think when the guy who's the top babyface in your company is really a heel.
Yeah, fans are going to continue booing John Cena until, you know, if he changes his character or does something different. I mean, he's the ultimate babyface, but like you said, he's the ultimate heel as well. there's never been someone as polarizing as him, probably in WWE history, that always gets a mixed reaction, no matter how much they try to push him as the good guy, right? And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that fans are just tired of his old, you know, song and dance. He really hasn't changed over the last decade or so, and fans are just pushing for something different. And that's why they cheer some of these guys, like the Wyatt family, who Cena's feuding with at the moment. It's because the Wyatt family are unique, and it's something that we haven't seen before.
Did you say Steen's feuding with them?
With what? Sorry?
What did you say? You said Steen was feuding with them.
No, I said the Wyatt family.
He said the Wyatt family was feuding with Steen.
Oh, with Cena.
No, with Cena, yeah.
Yeah, with
although,
feuding with Steen. That would be pretty cool. Although,
you might have just come on a nice booking idea for one Kevin Steen when he comes around. Maybe he will be the fourth Wyatt.
Oh, man, let's not get ahead of ourselves, but that would be pretty cool. He has the beard already.
Yeah, he could fit in with that group, I will just say. But we'll leave that for another day when we play fantasy booking and whatnot. But, yeah, it's an interesting time for the company, and obviously they're doing some strange things, too. I mean, you look at a guy like Bad News Barrett on TV this week. He was pushed like he's a babyface.
And apparently that's going to be the plan moving forward, is that they really want Barrett because of the reactions he's getting. People are buying into the whole, I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Like, it's so over with the fans. It's like, how can you really not push him as a face at this point? I mean, it's about time the guy actually got a decent run. And this gimmick, a lot of people pooped on it early on, but man, is it working.
Well, yeah, because Wade Barrett wasn't wrestling with it. I think that was the main thing that people didn't like about it, was you didn't have the connection with the wrestling, and obviously there were some behind the scenes issues with that because he had some visa problems and whatnot. But you know, most fans aren't up to date on their visa information on all their WWE superstars. Imagine that,
right?
So anyway, that was that. Raw was, I thought, fairly uneventful. I mean, it just...
Fairly?
Yeah, it just... I don't know if it was the fact that there were spoilers out there for it, and you were just trying to fight not reading what had happened or what it was, but I just felt totally underwhelmed, and they had promised to resolve the whole situation with the WWE title. They did not. All they did was stall. And we wait another week to see what becomes of Daniel Bryan and his world championship. He is scheduled to be on the show this Monday, so we will see Daniel Bryan one way or the other this Monday, it looks like.
Yeah, well, spoilers kill the show. You know, people aren't going to tune in if they can just go online, where everyone goes during the day at least once or twice, and, you know, go to a site like WrestlingRumors.net. Key plug right there. We had spoilers up all day, and I admitted on Twitter, you know, I succumbed to pressure, and I checked out the spoilers. I was hoping I could just wait and watch Raw live, but, you know, after the previous week, which was just terrible, I figured, you know what, I might be able to save myself 3 hours of my Monday evening and see what the show was like, and if it was crap, I wouldn't have to watch it. And lo and behold, it was absolutely terrible. The big moment that everyone was waiting for was whether Stephanie McMahon would strip Daniel Bryan of the championship, and like you said, all they did was stall. And I guess they really have no clue what they're going to do with him, and we might be heading into payback with no championship match.
It's looking that way. Although one way or the other, we're going to get a resolution on Monday, I would assume. Daniel Bryan's not coming there just to have no resolution to this. I think we'll get our resolution on Monday, and we'll know from there. But all signs seem to say they're not going to take the belt off him. And even though it doesn't make sense storyline-wise, because they've screwed him over so many times storyline-wise, I think it only makes sense that they keep the belt on him, because I think they cannot afford to anger their fan base at the current moment. Their business situation is not the greatest. The last thing they need is their fans going absolutely loco on them for making a creative decision that they do not agree with.
But, you know, we can respect the fact that, you know, when your champion is hurt, and we still don't know when he's going to come back, like, in the ring. It could be Battleground, it could be Money in the Bank, you know, God forbid it's SummerSlam, but then they would have to take the belt off of him at that point. But, you know, the last year we followed Daniel Bryan's journey to the championship, and it sucks that he has neck problems, but, you know, from a company perspective, if he misses a serious amount of time, you can't go that long without a champion. So, you know, if they're stalling, they must know when he's coming back, and this will definitely buy them at least a couple of weeks of just, you know, building up the story. And I was disappointed last week on Raw when they didn't come to some sort of a resolution, and they were like, okay, next week Daniel Bryan will show up and we'll ask him to drop the belt. And I don't think either of us think that's going to happen, right?
No, for reals this time. We're not lying.
We lied today, but next week we're telling the truth.
Yeah, we're not lying to you. Tune in. Get those ratings up for us. Come on now. Things are not looking good.
It's been terrible the last 2 weeks. Terrible is an understatement. It's been borderline garbage, and I haven't finished either Raw fully. I mean, last Monday there was an excuse because I knew what was going to happen. But, you know, when I'm a huge wrestling fan like me, I can't even sit through the 3 hours anymore. It's becoming unbearable.
It's an issue. Now, we've talked about all these NXT debuts that haven't gone so well on the podcast for the last, I want to say the last month we've kind of focused on this. Interestingly enough, Bo Dallas making his debut on SmackDown.
What do we make of Bo Dallas' debut?
No, I don't want to do spoilers. I don't want to ruin it for people because it's going to be on tonight, but like, what do we make of just the whole idea of someone debuting on SmackDown? If I'm Bo Dallas, am I worried already?
Well, he's going to appear on Raw. Like, it's not a big deal. He did his little shtick on SmackDown. I'm not going to say what happened, but if you want, you can go on YouTube. It's already up because that's usually the case. I think SmackDown airs earlier in Europe for some reason. But, I watched his match. I watched his promo beforehand, and, man, did I love it. And I don't care that it was on SmackDown. You can't keep having all of these debuts on Raw. You kind of have to spread them out and make SmackDown watchable because they were under the impression that no one was going to watch, tonight anyways, because the spoilers were there as well. And let's just give Bo Dallas his little match, and then he'll show up on Monday Night Raw and do something else. But yeah, I'm a big Bo Dallas mark. I think his physique is, whoever watches SmackDown tonight will notice that he's kind of out of shape, but, I love the gimmick. I love the Bo Leave. I love his entrance music, and I think this will work. And it's the first NXT gimmick in a while that I actually have some faith in, unlike Rusev and Adam Rose, which seems to be dropping the ball.
I don't know. But Lana, they had the photo leaking of her with the American flag on Twitter. Oh, no. Kayfabe is ruined.
Oh, no.
But, you know, there you go.
Have you seen some other photos of her on the internet?
No. Are there those kind of photos out there?
Yep.
Oh, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know?
I don't want to know. No.
It's Lana.
I'm not as huge into her as everyone else seems to be, but still, you know, those photos get out there, oh my, it's just terrible.
She's overshadowing Rusev. Sorry, buddy.
Well, no, I know she is, and that's the problem. Like, I mean, that's the entire problem with what's going wrong with Rusev, aside from the fact they've changed the gimmick like 3 or 4 times along the way. Also, the fact that she just totally overshadows him is a huge problem.
Next week he'll be Swiss, and then a couple of months down the road he'll be Swedish. I mean, they're just going to run through all of Europe, and then that'll be his thing.
No, he'll be from China, because it's got to be a country that the U.S. hates.
Right.
So make him from China. And he'll talk about how, you know, the U.S. owes China all this money, and he's come here to collect it piece by piece through one American after another.
Is it weird that Vladimir Putin is getting more heel heat than both of them combined?
I don't know. In London, they weren't as heelish towards Putin as they have been in the States. Not to say that they like him in London, but who knows? We're not here to talk international politics, Chris Walder. I'm pretty sure of that.
Are we going to be discussing the stock market again?
No. We've left that in the dust. The WWE stock remains kind of in the doldrums. It has not gone further down, I don't think. It's hovered around that $11 mark, if you're still curious.
That was the most money talk we've ever had, and thank God that's all we're ever going to discuss about that, unless it falls dramatically again.
Oh, no, I don't mind talking about stock market and stuff like that. It was actually fun, because I used to know a heck of a lot about it. I learned through my former high school football coach teaching economics. Yeah, we learned the stock market. I know some things.
I'm just not a numbers and money guy.
I'm just saying, buy now, you know, because it's never going to be lower than this.
Mick Foley was encouraging that, too. He's like, get your WWE stock.
Yeah, and he's brought the fanny pack back. That was his big news.
Oh,
my God.
I was actually looking forward to that, and it's like, oh, I'm going to bring back the fanny pack.
People were actually thinking he was going to join Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah.
Anyone who wrote that on a website, you should resign. Like whatever website you were on writing for wrestling news, you should resign. Seriously.
Hey, I brought that up as a possibility, okay?
Okay, well, you should resign then.
I'm not resigning.
You should.
Walter will never resign.
That's terrible. You are misleading the people.
Thank God I was wrong.
See, at least when you're on the podcast here with me, I can keep you on the right path. When you're left to your own devices, I can't be held responsible for that.
See, this is what happens when you leave me alone, James. I start writing this rubbish.
Yeah, and then you get Alicia Fox mad at you, too. That happened without me around.
Hey, I'm okay with that.
You're okay with having heat with Alicia Fox?
Hey, me and her, we're tight now. You know, I told you, we go way back.
Yeah, you're tight. I don't know. Has she tweeted you again since then?
That was just for the fans. No, she hasn't tweeted me since. I think she's more focused on pinning the Divas champion.
Let's put it this way. I had a more meaningful conversation with a potential guest for this program next week than you had with Alicia Fox. I will just say that.
Hey, are you going to give away who that individual is? Or are you going to save that for the end?
I'm going to save... And I'm just going to leave it out there because I am a big believer until the interview is done, we don't promote it. We don't talk about it. So that said, if you cannot accept that and you want to know, if you go on the Condo on the Moon timeline, you can pretty much figure it out who I'm talking about because we had a conversation actually about what we both follow, basketball. And it led to a conversation about wrestling and perhaps coming on this podcast, so there you go.
It would be a big interview, so hopefully that comes into fruition and we get that next week on the podcast.
And there's an even bigger one after that.
Whoa!
Potentially. We're working on it. We have been talking about ROH. We are putting our money where our mouth is, and both of those guests are prominent members of that company. So if it all works out, we'll be happy to have them on board, and thrilled to hear what they think about what's going on with that company, because obviously the buzz on the internet and fans and everywhere else seems to be so positive. I'm interested to hear what the guys in that actual locker room think about what's going on with that company, because they have to be thrilled.
Well, fingers crossed, buddy. I hope you get these interviews.
You never know until they're in the can. You see, you gotta be careful with that, because you gotta keep your fingers crossed. But the one, I'm pretty sure, emails have been exchanged, numbers, all sorts of stuff.
Just gotta dot some I's and cross some T's, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's as done a deal as it can be done. But as we learned in basketball with trades, they're never done until they actually happen.
Well, let's not get into that.
No. Just bad times. If you're a Raptor fan, you know what we're talking about. If you're not, you don't care, and you want us to just get on with talking about some more wrestling. So we shall do that and move on to other subjects.
Well, it was a pretty slow week at wrestling, you know? I mean, there wasn't a lot of monumental stuff, especially with the taped Raw, right?
Well, everyone's out of range of the world with being over in Europe, so it's kind of like no one can do anything silly or stupid or, you know, create false rumors when they're off in another country, although there is emails and stuff like that.
Right. And I don't even remember any of the stuff that happened with Evolution and The Shield this past Monday night. I actually stopped watching Raw before we got to that. So, I mean, I know they're having, an elimination, no-holds-barred match at Payback. I mean, it's at least something different. But I mean, it's like I don't. I'm just my interest is just dwindling and dwindling, and I just don't really care anymore.
Yeah, it's just the trouble with the WWE is when they get something that's good and clicks, they beat the living hell out of it on their television.
It's very true.
And I like to say that I blame them, but it's awfully hard to keep those elements away from each other when you have so much television to produce. It really is. But that said, there are ways to do it, and they've got to get more creative in doing that if they want to have these long feuds.
The build-up has just been exactly kind of what we saw for the Extreme Rules match, and they're just kind of reusing and recycling all of their old stuff, and there's nothing new to this feud. It's like, okay, they're going to try. The whole point of this is to make the Shield look good, but it's almost making Evolution look like a joke at the same time, you know? And Batista's going to be leaving, presumably after Payback, to go do his Guardians of the Galaxy stuff.
And never coming back.
What, seriously?
I don't think he will.
Well, he shouldn't. I mean, he has a DVD release coming out, and he was discussing about how he was actually genuinely disappointed that the fans were not as responsive to his return as he had previously hoped, you know? I mean, with the Bautista and him winning the Royal Rumble and fans turning on him just like that. But, yeah, you know what? He doesn't need the WWE. He's doing pretty good for himself in the film industry.
We shall see. But I made that prediction before all this friction started with Bautista and the WWE. It would not shock me if he doesn't come back after this.
It wouldn't be that much of a loss. I mean, he was supposed to be this big star returning, and now all of a sudden he's just jumbled into the mix with Triple H and Randy Orton. It's like he's not even there anymore.
Oh, you know what we haven't talked about, actually?
What?
And it was news this week?
What?
Somebody's getting married.
Oh, yeah. Ding, ding, ding.
CM Punk, the guy who doesn't wrestle in the WWE and isn't planning on doing it anytime soon, apparently has now added his wife to that list, or soon-to-be wife, as him and the lovely AJ Lee will be getting married sometime next month in parts unknown. And he announced this during the Chicago Cubs game. So
AJ was there. She was sitting in the background. He acknowledged her during the broadcast. And holy crap, this was fast.
I just want to say, I can understand why. AJ Lee is like the perfect girlfriend. I mean, how many girlfriends are willing to just go along and go to all of the sporting events with their man and just be cool with that?
Well, she's a nerd, but she's a really cool nerd, you know? She's into the comic book. She's really big on music. She's going to all these sporting events. I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that Punk is marrying her so fast. I mean, I heard people bring up on social media that when she showed up during the Cubs game, she looked kind of a little pudgy in the face, and there's rumors going out there that maybe she's pregnant.
Oh, don't start with that now.
What?
Oh,
what if she is?
I don't know. These are unconfirmed reports. See, this is how you get yourself in trouble.
We're not confirming anything. It's just a rumor that's going around right now, and it would at least explain why they're getting married so fast.
Why, maybe.
They've been barely engaged, and they're already getting married in June? Like, come on, there has to be some sort of reason behind that.
I don't know, but anyway, as you speculate, you see, the one thing you got to be very careful of with that, you see, if you speculate a woman is pregnant because you think they're looking bigger, that is a terrible thing if you're wrong.
Well, she's not.
Because the worst thing you can do is tell a woman that she's getting bigger. That does not go well for you. I don't care who the woman is.
Well, I'll be sure not to say that to my own girlfriend. AJ, it's different.
Oh, yes, but this is an insight for your own girlfriend to figure out what kind of man you actually are.
I'm a nice guy.
Who apparently has no problem with saying a woman's fat.
I'm not saying she's fat. I'm saying this is what people were saying.
Well, who are these people? You're the one saying it.
I'm not naming names. I'm just saying on social media the story's been making its rounds.
Oh, so you're now the voice of the voiceless, are you?
I really am.
No, you're not.
Damn right I am. Don't agree with me, James.
You are not.
Ah, crap.
Anyway, that was fun, but that was news of the week. All that pregnancy stuff and that, well, that remains to be seen. We'll see. I don't know if we should be buying baby booties and all that sort of thing just yet.
Little Harley Quinn's walking around, you know, with CM Punk and AJ Lee. What, imagine those two being your parents. Wow.
Yeah, that's kind of like the coolest parents you could ever think of, really.
Yeah, seriously, man. CM Punk's a big celebrity now, you know? He's probably more famous now than he ever was at WWE because no one knows what the hell's going on in his head.
I don't know. He's one of the things this week, too, congratulations to CM Punk's buddy, Colt Cabana, had his 200th podcast up this week, and one of the rumors that was floating around was that Punk might show up on that podcast. He did not.
Well, that was the rumor going around, he'd make an appearance?
Well, you know, because Punk was on the 100th one, I believe, so people were wondering if that would be the place that CM Punk would show up and not talk about what's going on with the WWE, probably.
Well, who was on the 200th one?
Well, he just did, like, a kind of best of thing, so he kind of put it out there, like, he fought off the rumor and said, you know, if anyone's expecting Punk, he's not going to be there.
Oh, okay.
So he successfully defused any people thinking that. But good for Colt Cabana, because he's really made a go of that podcast. And obviously CM Punk helped spread the word about that thing. But it's Cabana that's put in all the work on that podcast. And he's had, like, not just CM Punk and his buddies, but he's had some amazing guests on that thing. I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin's been on there. You know, a list of, from, like, an indie guy that you haven't heard of to some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, and a credit to Colt Cabana for doing that.
He's a charismatic guy, and it's a shame that WWE couldn't find something for him.
You know, it is what it is. I don't know if he necessarily fits with the WWE, and he seems happy doing what he's doing. And that's the main thing, as long as you're happy. And that was kind of the thing when Chris Hero left Developmental, too. He really seemed to find a new life and a new existence for himself, some freedom from being away from that system.
Well, good for Cabana. If he's happy doing the podcast and it seems to be very successful, you know, why ruin a good thing, right?
Exactly. So that's why you shouldn't be, like investigating pregnancies on here.
Oh, here we go.
And getting divas ticked off and all that.
Whatever. You know what? To even out the universe, AJ Lee can go out there and spread a rumor about me.
Well, I'm sure everyone will be, yeah, that's an even trade.
That's. I think it's well worth it.
I'll just start a rumor about you. How about that?
No, because I know you're going to go for the guts, though.
Yeah, well, you know. Anyway, we're having fun this week on the podcast. But wrestling-wise, it has kind of been a week where we've kind of been in limbo land, so to speak. I don't think anyone's really has moved up the ladder or down the ladder, so to speak. Although, we were joking around about your little incident with her, but Alicia Fox, that girl, it looks like she's really getting an honest-to-goodness push.
Because they have no one else to throw at Paige. There's no heel divas on the roster, and they're, you know, give Alicia Fox a chance. She's been around for 6 years. What the hell, right? And she went over clean over Paige in her home country, England. Like, I didn't see that coming, and now it looks like those two are going to fight at Payback.
So there you go. When's the last time Alicia Fox was on a pay-per-view?
When was the last time Alicia Fox was relevant?
Wow, see? I wasn't mean about it. You were mean.
Okay, that was not mean. I'm being honest. When was she relevant? We're living in an era where you're either the WWE Divas Champion or you're on Total Divas, and Alicia Fox doesn't fall under either category.
She does after Total Divas with Renee Young.
Who watches that?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yes, why
I'm
not?
I'm
going to
start spreading that.
I just did.
Yeah, you did it for me.
I said it. I'm not afraid. I'm a man.
Look, I like Alicia Fox, but Jesus Christ. Like, she hasn't done anything important in a long time since she had her last run with the Divas Championship. And I think now this character of her being a little you know, crazy, loopy, whatever you want to call it. It works for her, and I think it's going to get her over more so than anything she's done in the past, especially this post-Total Divas show she's apparently doing.
I think you are actually taking on her gimmick because you're all over the place.
No,
you're
I'm
like,
not.
Yes, you are. You're like you're praising the fact that she's getting over, but you're also demeaning the girl by saying, you know, when was the last time she was relevant? I'm confused.
I'm not demeaning her. Give me a call, Alicia. We'll talk this out personally, all right?
Oh, that'll go over well with the girlfriend who isn't Alicia Fox, by the way, too.
This is strictly business, by the way. I'm going to be her manager. I'm going to be her second hand, you know?
Wow, yeah.
Just imagine me escorting Alicia Fox down to the ring and just causing chaos ringside and being crazy for her.
Yeah, the managers and wrestlers never get together like Lana and Rusev. That never happens.
She's a Chris Walder guy.
Wow. This podcast has gone off the rails this week. I don't think we're going to be as long because I'm afraid of what you're going to say.
I'm just going to say something. Well, I've already said that AJ Lee might be pregnant. I'm saying all of this stuff about Alicia Fox. Where could I possibly go from here, James?
I don't know. Maybe you're going to say that the baby might not be CM Punk's.
I could say Eric Young is the most over world champion in professional wrestling today.
Oh, yes, we had our little moment of TNA. I hope you enjoyed that.
We had to get TNA in here somehow.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to, really.
We're trying to avoid TNA at any which way in turn, are we?
They have a new faction now. It's MVP, who's now a heel, with Bobby Lashley and Kenny King. Wow.
I hear they're going to come to WWE and battle Rusev.
Yeah, there is the jokes going around about the new Nation of Domination in WWE. Those have been quite amusing.
Eric Young is going to turn Russian, and then we're going to start talking about how TNA completely rips off WWE once again.
No, Eric Young is going to stay Canadian, and he will do whatever the heck he does. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up losing to MVP, actually.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me either. He's had a good run, but it's done absolutely nothing. With
He's
the
had a good run? What has it been, a month? A week?
He's held on to that belt a lot longer than I thought he would. I thought he would lose it as a sacrifice to Magnus again.
Wow.
He got through one pay-per-view. God bless his heart. I love you, Eric Young, but geez, it's overdue. MVP will beat you at the Slammiversary or whatever the hell it is.
So for the real important stuff that matters, Frankie Kazarian's contract now ends at the beginning of June. Then who is the next TNA star whose contract ends and will not be renewed?
That'll head over to Ring of Honor, probably.
Yeah, there's not. They did re-sign a couple guys. James Storm got re-signed, and so did Bobby Roode. But
and Gunner as well.
Oh, Gunner. Okay, yeah.
They even signed Bram to a long-term deal.
Who?
Bram. You know, the guy, Kenneth Cameron from NXT, the guy that's apparently good friends with Magnus now.
I have no idea who that is.
His name is Bram, for crying out loud. What kind of a name is Bram?
I have no idea. But a former TNA personality, this might just be a total rumor, but I heard it and I just laughed. SoCal Val is trying to get on Total Divas.
Yeah, I just reported that actually a couple of hours ago on WrestlingRumors.net. She did an interview with the Miami Herald, and she says that she would really like to head over to NXT Developmental. And she thinks, you know, she's 28 years old and she still has a long way to go in her wrestling career, and she wants to get the most out of it by heading over to Florida and working with, you know, some of her close friends in the biz.
I think her wrestling career has outdated what I thought it would. Let's put it that way.
They already have a redhead on Total Divas. They don't need another.
Oh, God. No, well, she's her own problem. I think, here's the thing. When you admit to having an alcohol addiction, and I have zero sympathy for you, what does that say about you?
There you go.
I mean,
a big SoCal Val, whatever her name is. Not a big fan of hers, eh?
No, I was talking about Eva Marie.
Oh, Eva Marie.
Although SoCal Val did have a DUI.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So there's that too. Yeah. Well, there you go. There's the perfect tag team.
Hey, we didn't even get into the big news yet. Rosa Mendez is going to be on the next season of Total Divas.
And I did not know this. Did you know this? Do you know who she dates?
Right now?
Yes.
I have no idea.
You're not going to believe this.
Who is it?
Think WWE executive.
Executive?
Yes.
Okay.
Has gotten in trouble with the company many times, but always seems to land on his feet.
Right.
He played the heel in the Best in the World DVD.
Why am I drawing a blank with this? This is so obvious, right?
It is. He was a fabulous Freebird.
Shut up.
Michael Hayes?
Michael
P.S. Hayes.
Apparently. You are joking.
Dates Rosa Mendez.
Get out of here. No way. That just blew my mind.
Which would explain how he got into all that trouble with her at the bar and all of that.
What the hell? She's dating an executive and she still can't get on TV?
That's probably keeping her from getting fired, I would say.
Well, now she's on Total Divas, so I stand corrected.
Yeah, that's a push nowadays, isn't it?
I want, if Total Divas features, you know, scenes with Michael Hayes and Rosa Mendez, I am so down to watch that. I will be in front of my TV every Sunday night to watch the Mendez and Hayes show, which it should be called now.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. I cannot, that, right over my head, man. I thought it was going to be like John Laurinaitis for a second.
No, it was not Johnny Ace, who, you know, let's face it, Johnny Ace, he did stock the Divas division well.
He did in
that regard. Not in terms of wrestling, in terms of people that Johnny Ace thought were, well, good looking.
Best thing he's ever done.
No, it wasn't. He ruined women's wrestling. He's awful.
Well, at least they're nice to look at, eh?
I don't know.
That was his goal, apparently.
Apparently so. Speaking of returns and divas and all of that, Summer Rae back.
Oh, yeah, she came back and made out with Fandango on Raw, and looks like he's going to get into a little thing with
They're using
Layla.
My gimmick. He's becoming a womanizing scumbag. I love it.
Well, either that or just the divas are just so infatuated with him for whatever reason. I mean, Jesus Christ, he's a
no, how
Fandango.
How this should end is they end up fighting over him, and he leaves both of them.
For who?
Whoever. It doesn't matter. Just keep moving Fandango from girl to girl to girl.
That'll be the relevancy of the Divas division. How many girls can Fandango just get with?
Make him the on-screen version of CM Punk.
Yeah, he just goes through the locker room like that.
Yeah, and I mean, that's why CM Punk is marrying AJ Lee, because really, you know, who is left for him?
For CM Punk?
Yeah, he'd pretty much run the gambit.
And he ran a gambit very well, I might add. I mean, Lita, AJ Lee, Maria Kanellis, I mean, woo! Good for him.
Kelly was in that mix, wasn't
Harvey,
she?
Was she? I don't think she was.
I don't know.
If she's on the list, man, I will bow down to Punk.
I think so. They were at least good friends a lot of the time.
Well, is Punk Jewish?
He is not, I don't think.
Or he has a little, I think
Cole Cabana
must have called him an honorary Jew or something like that.
Maybe. I don't know.
I remember an interview he did with Sam Roberts or Peter Rosenberg or whatever, and they brought up the fact that Punk is like an honorary Jew because most of the people he associates with, like Paul Heyman and Cabana, and then they brought up Barbie Blank. Yeah, they're all Jewish, so yeah.
That's true. So there you go. But I guess we'll know it at the wedding.
Yeah, well, they'll probably broadcast it on the WWE Network.
I don't think so. CM Punk, his wedding, you're not going to find. It's going to be buried somewhere.
No alcohol, though, just a fountain of Pepsi.
X's on the hands when you get entered into the X's and blindfolds, because no one is going to know where the wedding is taking place.
Walking down the aisle to Punk Rock and
who knows?
Pointing to the ground and it's marrying time.
Wow. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know. I want this wedding to be super badass, James.
Well,
I'm still expecting my invite.
You're not getting invited.
You don't know that.
I do know that.
Come on, Punk, if you're listening to the podcast, just throw your friend Walder an invite to the wedding.
We're not,
it'll be magical.
We're not talking about the Blackhawks, so he's not listening.
That's true.
We're not even talking about the Cubs, for God's sakes.
That those are his two bugaboos right now.
He is Chicago sports. You know what my beef with CM Punk is?
What?
He has never been into the Bulls. Like, if I could have drawn him out when I was covering basketball for 6 years, being a Bulls fan, maybe I could have got to interview the best in the world.
That would, how could you not be a fan of the Chicago Bulls, at least back in the day when Jordan was around?
Yeah, like the one Chicago sports team that actually has had a fair bit of amount of success. I know the Blackhawks just won a Stanley Cup a couple years ago, but in comparison to the Bulls, you know, in the last 20, 25 years, come on.
Maybe he's just not a basketball fan.
Maybe he's just a front runner.
Front runner?
Or like the opposite of a front runner. Like he likes the underdogs, that's what I meant to say.
Well, you don't get any bigger underdog than the Cubs.
Well, Eric Young, your TNA champion.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. On that happy note, we will see. Oh, the WWE, too, by the way, being investigated by someone else again. So the good times
the
keep on rolling.
On a sad note, and we're just going to end on an even sadder note. All these companies trying to bring down the machine.
Vince lost officially, by the way. We didn't say this on last week's podcast, but the grand total, $350 million with that
damn
day that we brought to the end, brought to the conclusion. So there it is. Vince McMahon, no longer officially on paper, a billionaire.
That's rough.
Yeah, he's got huge problems, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe they're not really they're holding back on how serious these problems are. I mean, this could be even worse than what's being announced to the world right now.
No,
I mean, we're seeing news stories, but this sounds terrible.
No, in all honesty, people are overreacting. It's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be. People just screwed up.
You lose $350 million in one day. That's pretty bad, James.
No. But what I'm saying is the reason he got all that money in the whole first place is the stock price got way overinflated because people had these unrealistic expectations of what the WWE was going to do. They obviously didn't meet those, and the stock suffered for it. But eventually, things will balance themselves out, and the stock will go back to where it belongs. As long as the WWE keeps things on the right path, everything should be okay.
But are they really on the right path, though?
I think so. I mean, the WWE Network is the future. I think everyone admits that, even though people aren't exactly thrilled with the subscriber number. Everyone kind of acknowledges that this is cutting-edge technology. This is the way how things are going to be 5-10 years from now, not just for WWE, but for all sports.
Well, we'll have to see how the network does once it reaches Canada and Europe and all of these other countries that have been shafted early on, because that's obviously going to bring up the numbers. But for right now, you know, the shareholders or whatever, they're not a fan of the 650,000 subscribers, but that number is going to go higher.
Yeah, it will eventually, and I mean, eventually it's going to work itself out. And I mean, if you're not a believer, the NFL Network is coming out with their own kind of, you know, on-demand service this summer as well. So, I mean, this is the way of the future. The WWE was at the forefront of where things are heading. It's just they didn't deliver in the way that people thought they would.
They set the bar too high, and they didn't meet expectations, but, you know, they're going to get there sooner or later.
Eventually, and hopefully we can get this whole booking and everything straightened out, because it's been a right old mess with everything. And I don't know, people have been talking about the lack of depth on this roster. I don't think there's a lack of depth. I just think there's a lack of direction for a lot of people. I think the talent is there. They just need some direction and to have some good, solid feuds going on. Like a guy who, to me, has been just not really pushed to any degree, Cesaro. I mean, what the heck's been up with him lately? He's doing next to nothing.
I guess they're just doing the slow build. Payback, it looks like we're going to get Cesaro and Sheamus for the United States Championship, a match we just saw this past Monday night in England. But, yeah, this is eventually going to pay off with Cesaro going up against Brock Lesnar once he eventually turns on Paul Heyman. So I think you just have to be patient. This is exactly what we saw with Daniel Bryan. You know, people wanted it to be, you know, so huge right away, but it's going to take some time.
I don't mind that. I'm willing to wait, but I want him to have actual feuds. He's not really having actual feuds. This Sheamus thing came out of nowhere. It's not a feud. What are they fighting about?
I think they're just two big European slobber knockers who are just going to beat the crap out of each other in Chicago, but it looks like it's not going to be a feud. And if the title is on the line, can you really afford Cesaro to lose? Because Sheamus just won the belt.
I don't know, but Sheamus is kind of so watered down, and if they are heading him for a heel turn, it might make sense. And then let's not forget, the original plan was for Cesaro to win the IC belt, which he did not. So now, maybe this is their way of correcting that, and he's going to get the U.S. title, and Sheamus all along was just a gatekeeper.
Hey, and Sheamus, the prospect of him joining Evolution gets bigger and bigger, because if Batista leaves, you know, there's going to be a vacancy, and we all know Sheamus's past with Hunter.
Which he denies, by the way.
Yeah, but
they only worked out 3 times in Australia, Chris Walder. You're perpetuating more rumors than lies.
Are you seriously telling me that Sheamus and Triple H aren't as close? Just because he said so on Twitter? You're telling me people haven't fabricated stuff on social media before to get...
You're a liar, Chris Walder! You telling untruths like that John Cena, that's what you're doing.
What the hell is that?
That was my bad Bray Wyatt impression.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I didn't know who you were trying to be there. I thought you were trying to be like a pastor or a priest or something.
Well, isn't
one of those televangelists.
Isn't that what Bray kind of does?
You know what? You got a point.
Yeah, so there you go. With that said, follow the Buzzards. Follow Chris Walder at Walder Sports. Follow us at Condo on the Moon. That is Condo with another O on the Moon. And you'll get all the wrestling news from here, there, and everywhere. And when you follow Walder, you get a little basketball as well.
Lots of NBA talk on the horizon, and hopefully more WWE talk, because it's not going to be taped. It's the go-home show next Monday night, heading into Payback, and Lord help us if we don't get some sort of a half-decent card for their special event on June 1st.
You never know. I'm more excited for NXT Arrival than I am for Payback.
It's NXT TakeOver.
Oh, that's right. TakeOver.
Different show. Yeah, the card looks stacked, actually. We got Neville and Kidd for the belt. We got Charlotte and Natalya for the Women's Championship. Sami Zayn and Tyler Breeze are going to have a singles match. And we're even going to see some Rosebuds when Adam Rose takes on Camacho.
Wow. That's on the card?
Yeah, it really is.
Wow! That is worst match of the night, guaranteed.
Well, yeah, it has a lot to contend with, too. And we're also going to get the Ascension defending the NXT Tag Team Championship against Lord Hell, like Kalisto and Ricardo Rodriguez, better known as El Local.
Yeah, that's kind of weird now.
That is the worst tag team ever. El Local was a jobber for NXT just because they had no one else to throw at all of these up-and-coming guys, and now he's teaming with Rey Mysterio Jr. and Kalisto.
Oh, well, you know. I mean, I like the guy that's with Ricardo. I think he's good, but he needs to lose Ricardo.
I liked him on the independent scene. Samurai Del Sol was his name, and he was great. He's the future of Lucha, which he chants every time he comes to the ring. Lucha, Lucha. And the fans are digging it, but, you know, we'll see if they can take the belts off the Ascension, two guys who will probably be making their main roster debut sooner rather than later.
Oh, God. We can only hope that'll happen.
Not a big Ascension.
No.
No surprise there.
No, no. They're bad. They're very bad.
And speaking of tag team wrestling, another match for Payback we're probably going to get before we end the show here. Usos and Harper and Rowan. Actually, in Belfast a couple of days ago, they had a match, and Harper and Rowan actually beat the Usos for the tag team championship, but it was later reversed. they do that a lot during these overseas shows. Finley came out and said, oh, he hit him with a belt or a chair or something. And
yeah, they've been doing a lot of these false finishes at house shows.
A lot of them involve swagger, actually.
They need to have one of these follow through.
Yeah.
Because back in the old days, that happened every once in a blue moon. Bret Hart, first ever WWF title, house show, Saskatoon against Ric Flair. No one saw it coming. And the reason you do it, and people say, well, that's kind of crazy, but the reason you do it, their house show sales are not doing good. They're down.
Uh-huh.
Have one title switch on a house show. You totally change the dynamic of a house show now.
Didn't Diesel win his World Wrestling Federation Championship against Backlund at a house show?
He did at Madison Square Garden.
It was like 23 seconds?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, once you have that happen once or twice, then people get accustomed to, well, anything can happen.
Exactly. But they won't do that.
Well, you know.
They'll just keep giving us these false finishes, man.
We'll see. You're so negative, Chris Walder.
I'm not negative.
Why.
It's been a terrible week, James. What do you want me to say? Oh, everything is peaches and cream in WWE. I'm so happy. La, la, la. Come on.
I'm not saying that, but you're very, I don't know what the word is for you. You're not your happy self. I feel bad. Maybe you should get like DDP yoga.
I need to become one with myself.
Yeah, mellow out. Do some yoga.
Put the diamond in the air and...
screw DDP peace. Yoga. We're Canadian. Go find Trish Stratus and go to Stratosphere.
I'll go do some yoga and I'll just sweat buckets.
Go to Stratosphere, do some yoga. Tell Trish I sent you there and tell her we'd love to have her on the podcast.
Hashtag Walder needs to mellow out.
Yes. But did you hear the last part? That's the important part.
Of what?
Tell her that we'd like to have her on the podcast.
Yes, we would love Trish Stratus on this podcast.
We would.
Let's go recruit her.
Yes, I tried once on Twitter. I got no response.
She just needs to hear from yours truly, that's all.
Yeah, because you have such a good relationship with the Divas, as we've established in this podcast. On that happy note, Chris Walder will not be interviewing Divas anytime soon on this podcast, but we will be having fun. We will be having guests. We should have a hell of a guest next week from ROH, a former champion of theirs, should be joining us on the program if all things work out. Keep up to date on @ConnoOnTheMoon. Once that interview goes down, I will confirm who it is, what's going to happen on this very program next week on Friday. So be here, and you will know if that interview actually took place, and you'll get to hear it for yourself.
Big things in store for Condo on the Moon. Everyone, stay tuned. It's only getting better.
Yes, we're trying. We're trying to keep Chris Walder in line, and we're trying to line up guests. That is the goals of the Condo on the Moon podcast for the short-term future.
And call us, Trish.
Yeah, that's not happening either.
The cream of the crop! Nobody does it better. More questions!
I'm sorry about that.
Goodbye!